What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that wants to remind you this festive season that you can't bench press your way out of this one. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you, Terry?
I too am well.
Absolutely brilliant to hear it, pal. That's fine. Yeah. It's within. It's within. All right?
I think it might have been. Might have put a bit too much.
I phased you. That's what I thought. I phased you. But,
a bit too much paprika on the sandwich.
At least you said paprika.
Whatever.
How have you been? How have you been, pal?
I've been...
Here he goes.
Good.
Ooh.
What's with your Dunn stores downstairs?
Hey, don't link me with that.
I only ever have the Lucozade Zero Sugar.
You need that sugar kick.
I just like the real thing, you know?
Of course. Who doesn't like the real thing? It's like you're drinking a drink with... It's like you got implants.
What are you talking about?
It's not real. It's
non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, whatever. I'm tired.
All right. I'm going to need you to bring that energy up a scooch.
All right, Terry.
Now, you may have inferred from my opening statement that we're talking about our top five Christmas movies this week. Looking forward to getting into all of that. But before we do... And before I check in how you are, I want to talk about something.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it in a few weeks. A bit of footy talk.
Hey.
Some football.
Well, how's the Amorim project going?
I think the project is going pretty well.
It's pretty clear it's the player's fault.
Pretty clear, like...
That seems to be the overriding message.
Theme of the last 6 years at Man United, like...
Oh, I mean, it's not funny for you, but how funny is Onana, man?
But, like, he's been so good this year. Like, he's been ridiculously good. He's the most clean sheets in the league. He's the highest rated goalkeeper in the Premier League.
But we know that's false.
Is it? Like, no.
Yeah, and then,
no, but he's liable. Every, like, 7 games, he's liable to do what he did on Saturday.
Not just to have a bad moment. He'll have, like... A shit the bed game.
Well, it was just two moments in that game. They had three shots and they scored three goals. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Because, like,
the ones that were straight at him. I don't know what's funnier, the one that was straight at him or where he kept putting the ball down to take it.
I was like, just why is the ref being such a fucking prick, though? Like, everybody does it in every game.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
So just let him kick
over there.
Over there.
Oh, so funny. So how are you feeling about the whole thing?
Good. I'm feeling good about. Like, we're scoring more goals, we're playing more... I kind of felt good, like, kind of similar to Ten Hag, to be honest, in that when it's working right, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Players can't fucking stick the ball in the net still.
Yeah.
But, like, you know...
Of course, yeah.
But then they will still... Like, the third goal, like, from the cross and the looping header... And there's three of them just like looking at it. I'm like,
what's Martinez doing?
I think he's expecting the keeper to get it. And then it's like, by the time it's dropping over him, it's kind of like he'd have to like stick his heel backwards or something to get it. Like,
I have to say, I would have absolutely no confidence in Onana as my keeper if I was a defender or a United fan.
I have more confidence in him than late era David De Gea. Like that, people are like, oh, we should never have got rid of De Gea. It's like he was fucking chucking the ball in his goal the last season. Like, it's a game against West Ham where it was like a shot from like 20 yards out, tiddling. You're like, yeah, I would have saved it. Like, I could have like stepped over and done that. And he like dived and like pushed it up into the side netting. I was like, what are you doing? And it's like, that was when it was like we'd won the cup, we were in third. We'd kind of dropped off a little bit behind Arsenal. Or, you know, the usual Arsenal March calamity spot in previous years. And it was like, he had like four of them and then he had the cup final. And then people were like, we should never have let him go.
Mm.
Like, it's time for change. I like Onana. I'll still defend him. I think he's been very good this year.
Okay.
I want to talk about...
What do you want to talk about?
Ashworth.
Oh, yeah. So, explain to me...
Got the can.
Like, I'm five. what this guy was supposed to do and why it's such a calamitous move.
So he's supposed to be the sporting director. Okay. And he's like the guy that brings in your players or whatever. Like,
this
like,
is a big song. When he got him, it was like, we got Dan Ashworth. I actually remember now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, we have him. Great.
And then apparently...
I can't work with this.
Ratcliffe and the lads are like, so you decided to keep Ten Hag. We're going to give him a new contract. Okay. Yeah. Then it was like, they sacked him after. And apparently he was quite... influential in the sacking of him.
Right.
Like, okay, you sacked him. Who do you think we should bring in? And he was like, well, somebody who's managed in the Premier League. The shortlist was like Eddie Howe, Thomas Frank. Who else was it? Like,
they're two good candidates.
Marco Silva.
Not as much.
No, they're not good candidates. I'm sorry.
I think Thomas Frank would have been good for us.
Maybe, but like, you put him in the hot seat. You know,
I think he's capable of being in the hot seat.
I don't know. Like, I was kind of,
when Liverpool were managerless after Klopp for a while, I was kind of secretly hoping.
I like him.
Thomas
I
mean, Frank. And I mentioned it once or twice on the YouTube thing and people were like, not a chance.
But like, Andy, last year they went like 10 games without a win.
True, yeah.
Like,
they, it was Brentford though as well.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, so,
yeah,
you know.
I know. Yeah.
It's not, I like him. I don't
yeah,
think
I'm
he's...
happy with Sot, don't get me wrong. But, yeah.
So... And so it was like Gareth Southgate was the other one.
Oh,
and they were like,
I'd hate it.
Why are you limiting it just to English-based players? You're supposed to be the best. Like, go out and get the best. And then it was like your man Barrera, who was the chief at City. He's like, look, I'm going to go get Amorim. He's over here. He's the hot shit manager that apparently City wanted him to take over after Guardiola.
Right.
And then once we got him, they were like, we never wanted it. Like, literally the day it was agreed, like loads of stuff from Man City was coming out being like, we had no plans.
Pep signs 1 year extension.
Pretty much. It's
completely
like,
unrelated. Yeah. Hey, how about Pep losing his shit?
It's funny.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
The one, I just seen one where it was
you
like...
You lost, mate.
Yeah, it's like, just because you lost.
Yeah.
And then he's coming back in a fight.
I actually thought it was like... what do you call it? Like face app or whatever.
Yeah,
like
some sort of
deep fake.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
But I thought like he didn't even actually really. He just literally said you lost.
Yeah.
Like that's it. And like fucking scratches all over him. And all
I
this
just
shit.
Ate one of his eggs.
Oh, I tell you, I was seething that our match was postponed.
Sure, you were. Yeah,
because it was like
everybody else is like dropping points all over the place.
I know. No, but at the time, then when the way it unfolded was good. I felt like that scene where Bart sells his soul and all the other people with their souls are running out onto the boat, and I'm sitting there stewing in that 3-3 draw. I'm like, all I need is just another result to shake that loose and to replace it with a nice healthy win. And then I was like, can't even fucking get that.
A few people were giving Keeve a bit of stick after that.
Big Keeve's got enough goodwill in the bank. I mean, he has by far saved us way more points than he has cost us. Like, he's literally won us figuratively, the Carabao Cup last year.
I mean, yeah, he did win it by saving penalties, so.
But, like, some point blank saves, Cole Palmer and all this in the first half.
No, you just won that. And, I'm trying to think of the other. Anyway.
There's loads. And then this year, the amount of times he's saved something and I've been like, fucking hell.
Do you ever think he'll be first choice at Liverpool?
I don't think so now because we've signed Marmadash Vili, if I'm pronouncing that right. He's supposed to be. From what I've seen, from the very few clips I've seen, he looks really good. But if you're to ask me...
Did he straight in to replace Alisson next year? Because he's a bit injury prone now. Like.
I think he's good enough to be number one, personally. I would personally love for him to stay because I think he's like, you can't really say, okay, definitively he's like in the top whatever, but certainly in the last 3 months, in my mind, he's been one of the best
goalkeepers in the league. Like,
I'll say in the world.
In the world?
In the world.
Way, man.
But realistically.
Like, who do you know? Like, give me some goalkeepers outside the Premier League that you know.
No, don't test my knowledge, Terry. I'm just saying. I'm just feeling.
I'm just a simple YouTuber.
Can't take what I say. Yeah. Seriously?
Oh, what? What? Oh.
But certainly top eight in the league is top two in the league. Two or three.
All right. Like,
performance-wise, I'm talking specifically this season.
He's not better than Edison. Like, I'm just talking, you know.
Is he? I'm not talking overall. I'm talking. Form.
I'm talking overall. Be real. Can we get serious?
Okay, let's
to
get
quote
serious.
Tom Hanks and Sully. Can we get serious now?
Yeah,
we would say, Alisson,
mm-hmm.
Ederson,
mm-hmm. Martinez?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he's good. He's,
yeah. If we're not talking about form,
I would have Onana ahead of him.
I mean, that's wouldn't. Mental.
It's not mental.
That, Terry, you even know that. That's Roy's smile on your face tells me.
I would.
You know that's mental.
I would have him ahead of Sanchez, and maybe I'd have Roy ahead of him. I'm still not. I mean, it's very rich of me after my goalkeeper's like shit the bed at the weekend. Be like, yeah. I still don't really fancy David Raya, you know. But I don't know. There's something about him. Like,
I don't know. But yeah, honestly, I don't know. I would love to keep him, but you know. I think Alisson, now that he's back, will be just back.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that his last thing that Kelleher did was like...
When is Alisson going to be back, though? Like, he's playing
tonight.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. He's playing right now, you mean?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
Ha. I mean, thanks for switching days, Terry.
Like, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been great. But,
David Coote.
Yeah, he's gone.
So what's next for him, I wonder?
Like, what is actually next? Like, I hope that...
So, he's gone from the PGMOL.
Yeah, is that Premier League? I hope he gets work somewhere.
Is that Premier League or is that all England?
I think it's all of England. He can go to France.
Fucking Saudi. Like, if he goes to Saudi, he'll get paid a shit ton of money. Like,
yeah, kind of a celeb now, anyway.
Plattenberg went over there.
Look at him.
Got his payday. Came back to be... What club was it? Was it Forest?
Yeah.
To be, like, their referee expert.
Oh, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
So,
Did you see... Sorry, this is totally off topic, but I want to talk to you about something that's in the news at the minute. See this CEO killer thing?
It's fucking good.
Right. Now, am I mental? Okay. Because, like, the guy... One, it's weird to even see the video of someone just being shot. Just so openly shot and killed. I'm like, I actually
didn't watch the video.
And like,
just saw the pictures.
It just keeps popping up, and then you see who the guy is, and because he's a good looking guy,
Luigi Mangione,
and it's like, but am I crazy? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because it's like everyone's like, he's so handsome. I know what I'd and like. Yeah. This guy
any more
just,
back shots in you?
I'm actually trying to make a point.
That was something I saw online. Where it was like, because he shot your man in the back, right?
Yeah.
And it was like some girl posting on Twitter, like, got any more back shots in you? When his face was revealed.
I was just making a point about the opposite. I was like, I feel like it's crazy that there's so much like,
well, this guy,
laughing about it.
Because the healthcare system in the States is so fucked.
Yeah, but and like even this, that, like, oh, he was part of the healthcare insurance industry.
Apparently he was like...
Well, I mean, I'm sure he was a cunt.
Yeah, and like he made people's lives...
Really?
...miserable. Like, right, yeah. Well. So, like, apparently... Okay. And it doesn't mean you go and shoot the guy, or maybe it does.
It's just weird, you know? Like, but I guess I can't have it both ways, because it was the same when, like, the Queen died and all of Irish Twitter was, like, having a field day.
Yeah.
This is a similar vibe, but this time I'm like... Wasn't like surely that guy was like a father and a you know, I'm like it's just so weird how we can just decide. I mean, I don't know this guy's backstory, so chances are he screwed over hundreds, if not thousands, of people. But
that's probably pretty likely.
It's one of those things that just seems quite surreal to me. Do you know what I mean? Like where it's
this
just,
is where we are as a society, though. Just, it is like you know,
there is no shits given anymore. Yeah. You know. Speaking of,
yes,
if I may,
Piggyback
on the back of this, the Jay-Z thing.
Yeah.
So he was alleged to have
raped?
Yes, a 13-year-old with P. Diddy while a female celebrity looked on. Now, if you're asking me, it's either going to be J-Lo or Beyonce because they were.
I heard there was a thing with J-Lo and Diddy for years.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And they're all part of the Illuminati anyway. They're all, especially Jay-Z and Beyonce. You know, they're part of it. And then you have, okay, so Jay-Z actually got with Beyonce when she was 16.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Like,
and do you know what is the most damning thing?
But there is no evidence. Like,
no, but you know what is the most damning thing? Is, do you remember that clip a couple of years ago where it's,
Solange?
Yeah, it's Jay-Z
the crap out of him in the
and
lift.
Beyonce and Beyonce's sister in the lift. And she's beating the fuck out of him for something. And Beyonce's just standing there like,
Why is that damning?
Because there's some weird shit going on.
Yeah, but like celebrities are weird people.
No, but it's not like boom, he's done it. But like, there's definitely some weird shit going on with them.
Tread carefully, counselor.
And then one of the Knowles
liked it. Go away
said,
with that.
And
like,
then said no, and then said she's like, oh, I was hacked. Y'all need to stop messing with me or something like. your act just to like that one post, and then
it's like all the other activities is the same thing. Like,
so I don't know. I don't know if he did, but it doesn't look good for him.
There's gonna be a reckoning, like, you know. Apparently,
Cat Williams called it.
This guy as well, like, it's right. He was like Times Man of the Year or something like that. He was on, like, maybe not Time, but like some magazine Man of the Year. And I was like, this fucking guy.
I liked it. I liked it.
I know, but like, he's an asshole as well. Like, a big asshole. Yeah. Like,
they're all assholes. Yeah.
Yeah. Not everybody. But who's a celebrity that you would like to have a beer with?
I think it would be boring, but like,
don't say we get your face.
No, but like Bryan Cranston, you know, isn't an arsehole. Yeah. And he'd be funny, and he'd be a great storyteller, and he'd be engaged. Tom Cruise.
No way, man.
I'd go for a beer with him. You can end up sleeping with him at the end of the night, sure, but
his psychosexual powers are too much for me.
No, what I have is a romantic abnormality.
I think I'd like to go for a beer with Bill Hader.
Yeah, you know he'd be good.
Like, I'm watching some clips from online there the other day. And it was like, he was telling me when he was working on props. Have you seen this clip? Where he was like, he was working on props, and it was on movie sets before he got into acting and stuff. And it was like, there was a guy who had a sword, and it was like, he was like chopping a piece of wood, and the prop man or the set guy was coming over, was like, hey, knock that off, whatever. And your man started like messing with him with the sword.
Yeah.
And then he was like, hey, that's dangerous. And then somebody else came and was like, oh, I got one of those retractable swords. And he was like, give me that. Like, so Bill Hader is standing there, and this other guy is like doing the same thing. And he's like, and we were waiting, because we're like, you gotta be cool, you know. We were waiting for the boss to come over. And it was like, you're waiting for hours. He's chopping for hours. He's like, is he coming? No. And your man comes over, and the same thing happened. He like swipes him. He's like, hey. He's like, don't do that. And then he like plunged the knife into his chest. And he's like, what? And I'm just, him telling that story made me so happy.
He seems like the nicest guy, doesn't he?
And like, loves movies. Yeah. Loves fucking.
You'd have a field day, man. Like, you know? Yeah. I keep forgetting he used to work on South Park.
Yeah.
You see the writers thing where it has. I keep seeing it popping up on my social media.
What was that called? It was like. Running with the Egg is the Seinfeld one. But it was like.
Oh, like to week. Air in 7 days.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah. You know, 7 days there or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it was, you know.
But yeah, I wouldn't have. I forgot. I always forget that he's part of it. But like, of course he was.
Yeah.
Like, great show like that.
He came on late. He came on late, and he wasn't there that long. You know, he came on the later season. Well, I say late.
So damn near ripped my britches like that episode he was on. You know.
Hey, I watched the movie over a week. Oh no, today I watched the movie.
Passes out, composes himself. Yes. What did you watch?
I watched the movie. Have you heard of a movie called Emilia Perez?
I have not.
It's like on Netflix. It's going to be their big Oscar contender.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Let me tell you what this movie is about.
Okay.
It's about a woman who's a lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana.
Never heard of her, mate.
Do you know her from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, okay.
Gamora, the green one. She's in Avatar. She's in Star Trek.
Of course.
And she plays a lawyer who is hired by a... What would you call him? A narco boss in Mexico. It's in Spanish and English sometimes. And she is hired by this narco boss to find a doctor for him because they want to transition into being a woman. Right?
Right.
But the person playing the narco is actually a transgender woman. And what they do is they put makeup on her so that she... plays the man, and then halfway through the film, after her surgery, plays the woman as herself.
Oh. And when you say they put makeup on her as the man, like a beard or something.
Yeah, a beard. Oh, okay, so they dress her up to be like maybe what she used to look like beforehand. Yeah. Huh. And it's also a musical, a really weird musical. Okay.
I'll tell you right now. It's winning the Oscar.
Well, I don't know.
The representation, tick. Musical, bollocks, tick.
It won the Palme d'Or, right? And it was like, because it's by this like French auteur director, Jacques Audiard.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm fucking seething here. Go on, yeah.
I remember hearing it. It's like, oh, this is going to sweep everything. And I watched it and I was like, am I going insane? This is like a scene where like, Zoe Saldana has been like told, like, you have to go and check out all these clinics. So she flies to Bangkok, and like, it's a musical piece where it's like they go to Bangkok. She goes into like the sex change clinic, and it's like there's a guy singing. There's like penis to vagina, penis, and I was like, I know it's a musical, and you sing your thoughts and your feelings sometimes, but I was like, this is crazy.
Is that, do you think it's too basic?
It's like, you know what I mean? It's like you're taking the piss, like, you know.
It's like there's no subtext here.
No, it's like,
and it's like by that stage, it was like, oh, penis like, to vagina. I don't know.
That's like 20 minutes into the movie, and it goes on for like 2 hours 15.
Oh,
and like, part of it is like, there's parts of it that are interesting that I'm like,
Let's hear it.
It's kind of like Zoe Saldana is very, very good in it, and like she'll probably win the Oscar for best supporting actress.
Right.
But it got like 10 Golden Globe nominations, which are a bit shit, but it got the most, you know, nominations.
It's a bit shit.
Like, it, you know, it's
Golden Globe. The Golden Globes are
shit. Yeah, okay. You know, but it got the most nominations. And I feel like I'm kind of taking crazy pills that, like, this is like Netflix's big awards contender this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like if you're a sick person like me, you might want to check it out. Yeah. We all have Netflix, you know.
Yeah.
It's sitting right there for you. But it's one of the rare times where I'm like,
what are you doing to me? Watching it? The fuck is this?
At a certain point, more like, and not like the way I was with David Lynch, where I was like, well, what the hell does that mean? It was more like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
what are we doing here?
Why are we doing this?
How long is it?
It's like 2:15. Selena Gomez is in it as well, and she is okay in it. Like, but like some of the stuff in it, I'm like, oh, we're like at this stage now.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of ends, and I was like, right.
Did you feel like...
I didn't feel like my time was wasted because I watched it on my commute. If I'd sat down, okay. I'm like, I'm clearing my
evening.
This
is my evening.
I would be like, ugh.
Livid.
Yeah, I mean, I started to
watch...
What
did you give it on Letterboxd, you son of a bitch?
2.5.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's like...
Scathing. Folks, if I can translate that for the rest of us, that's half a star.
Hey, if you want to follow me over on Letterboxd, boys, you can get me... and girls, you can get me over on The Boy Toner. If you want to read some of my... humorous reviews. They're all there for you. You know.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It'll
be kept up to date, I'll tell you that.
Yes. So I'm gonna have a bit of watching to get through to finish up my, you know, year end, my top 10.
Did you finish your hot streak of movies?
Yeah, I didn't get one in since... That's the only movie we've watched since last week now.
Hey.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson saying howdy to all the ladies out there.
You sent me something today, a clip to watch.
Come on, but no, like, yeah, that's a trailer.
I watched
like
it, and it's one of my favorite franchises. Yeah. So yeah.
28 years later, my man Danny Boyle.
Did I read a tweet right to say that this is the first of a trilogy?
Yeah, he's only directing the first one, and he's picked the other two directors to do it. And I think it's Alex Garland who wrote the original, and he wrote and directed Ex Machina, and like he did Civil War earlier this year, which good movie.
Civil War.
It's the one it's with Kirsten Dunst. It's all about like the civil.
Sounds like an insult.
What
her name? Kirsten Dunst.
Dunst, get over here. It's about like photo.
Good to see her back.
Oh, she's really good in it too. It's about like photojournalists like in a civil war happening in like 2027 in America.
Oh right.
And there's some fuck. I don't know. Like Jesse Plemons comes in it for a scene, and you're like, he fucking kills it as per usual.
Of course he does.
It's a good movie. Could end up in my top 10. I'm gonna have to start doing the list soon.
Yeah. Your big thing will be coming out soon, isn't it?
What's my
your thing? Movies of the year?
Yeah,
thing?
That's my top 10, man. Top 10.
No, but your thing that your man edits.
Oh, that's January. Yeah, top 25 by David Ehrlich.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How many times
do
you reckon you'll watch it? Like when it comes out. I mean, it's guaranteed.
I watch it like 3 times the first day.
It's guaranteed at least 15 watches.
Probably. In the first week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of the trailer off this one?
I thought it was really good.
Looked good, right?
I love the fact that it's kind of like, oh, we're back to medieval times almost. And then there's like, there are some guns, but mostly people seem to be like bow and arrow. And, you know, like, they have like
society has collapsed.
But like, it's not even that it's collapsed. Because
it's not what we know.
It seems like it's regressed or whatever.
Yes,
but like, they have like... towers, you know, made out of wood and stuff like that. Like, there were some great shots. There was a shot of like them walking
the tree.
No, it was like a path, and then like it was just water either side of the path. So yeah, it was like, you know, I don't know, it just looked very cool.
It looks class.
Did you spot my guy?
Who's your guy?
Monsieur Gustave himself, Ralph Fiennes.
No.
He's like bald and jacked and covered in blood.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah, that was him. Way. Yeah, I'm like, hello.
Do you know what I loved about the trailer? It was that it didn't give anything away.
No.
You know what I mean? It was a bunch of clips, which is what a trailer should be, really. Just put a bunch of clips together in no certain order. Don't give me the start, middle, and end. It was just, I still have 0% as to what.
I'm intrigued. I want to see it. Like, I read something, a tweet, and it was like, this actually makes me think there should be like trailer editing as an art form.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, there 100%. Should be. Like,
that's the problem with trailers, is they just, like,
There was another trailer, and I talked about the movie last week, called Juror Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise of Juror Number 2 is, and this is just in the trailer, it gives it away, Nicholas Hoult, you know him? You know him from the little kid from About a Boy.
Oh, yeah. And
Skins, yeah, yeah. Perfect, yeah. We're on the same page. So he is like called to a jury. And you're like, okay, great. And then it kind of cuts back to like, it's a murder trial. And then it turns out that like he was at the bar the same night and he was having a drink that the woman was murdered. But he drives home and he thinks he hits a deer, but he can't find anything that he hit and drives home. And then he's on the jury for like the boyfriend who's on trial for murdering. And he's like, did I kill her? Did I hit her with my car? And I was like, how effective? Like, that sums up the plot. It doesn't give you where it's going or whatever. You know that it's going to be a courtroom movie.
Yeah.
And this guy is like, kind of freaking out, and I was like, man, now I want to see what happens in it.
Sometimes what they do is they get so far, they get about 80% into it, and then they ruin it with the last 20%, where it's just shot.
That's the end.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the end, is it? That's the finale right there. Like,
like me and Kerry be watching a trailer for something, or sometimes you would recommend something, and we'll check out a trailer. And then if she likes it, about a minute into the trailer, she's like, yep, okay.
Stop it.
Good. Let's watch it, because I don't want it to be ruined. Because it's just, it seems to just be the norm.
All the best don't know how to do.
It is an art form,
like,
though,
the best directors, they want control over that shit. As opposed to, you know.
Yeah.
Joe Berger.
Yeah, we're gonna let Paramount put this together.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, yeah, do whatever. And then it's like,
Joe Berger. Yeah. Did you call me? Hey, Joe.
Hey, we're just putting together the trailer for your new movie. I'll be back here.
Give me 15 minutes. But yeah, it looks class. And
I'm excited
about it. When is it? Like
2025? I'll tell you, 2024 for me has not been an amazing year movie-wise. I don't think so. Some good movies, don't get me wrong.
What's the best movie this year?
Oh, I've only had one 5-star movie this year. And I'm not telling what it is.
Have you told me already?
No. I mentioned it on last week's episode. I'll just put it that way. But there's been a lot of like 4, 4.5 stars. There's only one movie, and I don't think it's the best movie of the year, but it was my favorite one because of how it made me feel.
Which one was that?
I'm not telling you.
Okay, all right.
I'll be giving it away, Andy.
Is this for the solo pod that you're going to be doing?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We're going to be clips in and stuff like that.
Ah.
Yeah. So there's only been one, whereas this point last year, I had like 4 or 5 that were like, these are like,
nailed
5-star movies, you know what I mean?
Do you anticipate 2025 to be a better year for movies?
I do, in that because...
Live-action Moana or something? Or?
Yeah, that'll do it. Because of the strikes, I know a lot of stuff was pushed. And like the summer seemed like...
What was the strikes about?
There was the writers and actors strike because of the AI stuff.
Was that this year?
That was, last year, this year. Like so. So like Challengers, which was supposed to come out last year, was bumped to this year. Thankfully it was, because it was... You know, a bright spark in the year, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on Prime Video now, folks. By the way, if you got it,
hey,
go watch it.
I was talking to you.
I was trying to recommend it to a friend of ours on a night out, and he's like, "Is that the one where Zendaya gets spit roasted with the two lads?"
Is it?
Then she doesn't get spit roasted.
Ah,
but
it.
There's a whole thruple thing going on with them.
Is there thruple sex in it?
No, there is sex. There is sex.
But not triple sex.
There's not triple sex. Yeah. No.
Not interested, mate. Yeah.
There's guy on guy kissing. I know you're down
well,
for that.
Well, I mean...
And she's there.
No, that does nothing for me.
You sure?
Yeah. Like, give me something like "Y Tu Mama Tambien" or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. That's,
although there wasn't that much.
No, there wasn't really. Like, you know, that's more of a thruple thing than, you know.
It was. What did I see? I seen a. I maybe even mentioned it on the pod before, where it was like, if you didn't see this at 14,
yeah, you won't
randomly
have seen it.
You've never seen it or something.
You either watched it at 14 or discovered it at 40. Like, you know, like.
I remember it was one of those where I'm like, oh.
This, what is this?
This movie is amazing. Yeah. I, you know, one of those finds when you're a teen where you're just like, oh, like this is, you know, back when you would just be browsing the channels and then you'd be like, oh, I'll just.
I was having a conversation with somebody today and they were like, because I told them we're talking about Christmas movies today.
Yeah.
And they were like, I was like, I haven't watched any yet. And they were like, what do you mean? It's Christmas already. I'm like, it's not. It's the 10th of December. It's not Christmas yet.
What do you think, 15th onwards?
I think like 20th. Because that was like
that's a lot of cramming though.
No, but that was
after the 25th. I don't want to watch a thing to do with Christmas.
I'm the opposite. It's like 25th to like 29th is like the sweet spot of like post Christmas RT guide 11 o'clock channel 4 Mission Impossible is on or something. Hello, you know, like, or BBC 2 at 12:30 and it's Papillon. You're like, oh, I'm gonna stay up for 3 hours and watch this. Back when I didn't have kids,
of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I wasn't gonna be woken up at 6 a.m.
Before we get into movies and stuff like that, I had a request for you.
I
have two things actually. One is, did you listen to those Blink-182 tracks that I
did?
Now, what were they again?
They were
Turpentine. Yeah, and.
Bad News?
Yeah.
I like Bad News.
Indeed, like Bad News.
Significantly more than Turpentine.
Did you not like Turpentine?
I did not like it. And I'm listening to it, I'm like, give it up, Andy.
Never!
And like, just
Turpentine, his vocal performance is clearly better than it was in Anthem Part 3.
It's better than 20 Reds Blaze Love. It's better, but like, the actual music, I was like, this is what you were trying to do 20 years ago and you couldn't do it.
Let me tell you something.
You couldn't crack it.
You're dead wrong.
No, I'm
this.
Right.
First of all, the album, one more time, it's probably in their top 3.
All right, Kevin Nash.
What?
All right, Kevin.
First of all, and just getting started.
Part 2 or whatever. What's the album called?
One more time, Part 2. Then they release like 10 more songs. Oh. And some of the songs that they've released off the Part 2 even are incredible. Now, I'll tell you my huge beef that I have with the album, if you're asking.
Stinks?
No. It's that Travis produced it. And as you can probably tell from the tracks, the drumming is dialed up to about 20. And he overplays on every song, I will say. And I love Travis. But he had too much control over the sound of this album. It is just every song is like, oh, this is a nice song. Oh, fuck's sake.
Do you think that anything... I haven't listened to the whole album.
Uh-huh.
I listened to a couple of other songs as well, just because they played.
From Blink?
Yeah.
From that album?
Yeah. What was the one? Fuck Face?
Ah, something. Yeah.
I was like, okay, grow up, lads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there was another one. I can't remember the name. But it was okay. But I was like, you can't possibly think that any of this holds a candle to what they did, you know, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
I would... No, you're gonna fight me on this one. I would put that album ahead of Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. I put it behind Enema and behind Blink-182.
You're mental that you put that ahead.
And I would put this one. If you're talking about song quality, granted, they themselves, I don't think it's probably my least favorite produced album. I think I don't really like the sound on it, but the songs are great. And I think their voices are, fair enough, they're approaching 50.
They're cooked, man.
They're cooked. Not cooked. Let's get started there.
They got started in 1999, Andy.
First of all,
25 years ago.
First of all, I wanted to send you a song from them from 1994 to compare, and you'd love it as well.
Fine.
I'll do that for next
week. What was Dude Ranch? 96?
That was 97 or 97. Something. Yeah.
Dude Ranch. One of my favorites.
Buddha or Cheshire Cat era is what I'll send you. Okay. I mean, the production quality is terrible, but for it, it's just
what's
cheapness.
Fucking... Oh, I can't even remember the song now. This is growing.
Damn it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's great.
That was good.
Well, look, thank you for listening to them. Yeah. I knew you'd like the Mark one. I knew you would. I
wasn't going to say as far as I liked it.
No, okay.
I liked it more than the other one. Fucking.
I want to do the whole album. Can we find some way to get the whole album?
If somebody requests it on Patreon,
guys,
sure.
I'm begging you. Or what else? How about this? We both have to listen to each other's top 10 Spotify Wrapped songs. Just a suggestion. Maybe five, top five. Just think about
You'll like all mine, though. Like,
I won't.
You won't like. You won't like Paul McCartney. You won't.
I can't remember what the songs were, but I'm just assuming that I would.
It's like Paul McCartney, Sufjan Stevens. I don't know. It's all very like ear friendly.
How about this? I want to do a new thing on the pod where you listen to one track a week. Okay?
Me?
Yeah, you. You make me watch enough movies. You listen to one 3-minute track in your commute. That's nothing. All right. Came in hot there. Sorry. Okay. And next week it's going to be Kendrick's new album, GNX. And let me tell you, I have been devouring this album.
Okay, all right. It's
fucking so original and so interesting.
I'm all for new segments on the show. Okay?
Let's do it.
That's absolutely fine at me.
Brilliant.
Finally contributing something to the format.
Great. Now, secondly, here's another contribution. I want to do a quick fire movie quiz with you, right?
Okay.
Now, I only just seen on TikTok today, you are going to smoke me in this because we're both playing together.
Oh!
I don't know why I'm doing it to myself. I'm going to be out within 5 seconds. But it's just...
How does it work?
It's one of us names a movie, the other one says an actor who's in that movie, and then the other person says another movie that that actor was in.
Oh, okay. Go
back
on
and
that.
Forth
okay.
like that, you know. Okay. So I'm going to start with Titanic.
Bill Paxton.
Twister.
Helen Hunt.
As good as it gets. I should have started the timer.
Oh, is it a timer thing?
Yeah, there should be 6 seconds until one of us craps.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say we're 10 seconds in.
Jack Nicholson.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Christopher Lloyd.
Back to the Future.
Michael J. Fox. There's 3 Back to the Future movies.
Oh well, okay, yeah, Back to the Future 2.
Crispin Glover. Oh, he's not in it. Oh,
yes, did I win? Yeah.
Yes. All right, go again. Hold on, let's go again. Right, that's fun.
Let's do it again. All right, start a proper stopwatch. Boom.
So hold on. So,
all right,
we have 6 seconds to answer.
There's no.
Oh, you're just timing.
I'm just timing a 60 seconds so we don't just do it for the whole episode.
Oh, okay.
Quick fire one.
Okay, cool.
But if you get it wrong, you can take your time.
Okay.
So if you get it wrong.
You not notice how I was firing the
back? Yeah, you were
breathing on your fur.
Armageddon.
Bruce Willis.
Die Hard.
Alan Rickman.
Dogma.
Ben Affleck. You know what, I could have. There was a checkmate there for if I wanted it.
You have a checkmate at every possible turn here. Really.
Tied as well ever.
Ah, no. I actually meant to say that at the start. And don't fuck me here, Terry.
The checkmate was Alanis Morissette was
ooh,
for Dogma. Give me another movie, she's in.
One more.
Yeah, one more game.
Basic Instinct. Just give me one of the two. Don't fuck around here, Terry.
No.
I couldn't even tell you what else. Sharon Stone.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to be. All right, Sharon Stone.
Fuck.
No, I'll start it. Okay.
Yeah, go on, please.
Okay.
Please.
Romeo and Juliet.
Leo DiCaprio.
Okay. Great. The Revenant.
Tom Hardy.
Inception.
JGL.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Is
yeah.
that what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah. This is talking your language.
Looper.
Bruce Willis.
Hudson Hawk.
No. Oh, is that the movie name?
Yeah.
Give me the year it came out. Just
like 91.
Tom Sizemore.
No, close. No.
What a guess. I'm out.
Danny Aiello is in it. The reason why that came to mind was I was browsing on Instagram and somebody put up Hudson Hawk video game, and like it was a Game Boy video game, and I was like, immediately I was like, that movie, I watched it when I on a Saturday night on ITV, and I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen, because Bruce Willis plays a cat burglar, and he like wrote and produced it. It was like a real vanity project.
Oh, you were telling me about it. Yeah,
it's like how they break in to steal the auction house is, instead of using the stopwatch, it's like they're, he's like, what do we, you know, we need about 5 minutes. He's like, 5:36, swinging on a star. And it's like, he's like, you know, there's such a thing as a stopwatch, Hawk. And he's like, yeah, but this is so much more fun. He's like, 1, 2, 3, would you rather swing on a star? And it's like, they're robbing the thing while they're doing it. And like, they're singing while in separate rooms. And the, like, the music is like, you know.
The movie tanked.
Yeah, it really did. It was like, that's why he went back and did Die Hard.
Yeah, two, you were saying.
Three, yeah. Oh, because it was like, he made all these, like, his career was in the toilet. Remember, you find that on YouTube, and I was like, all right, that's so cool. And then you look at it, it's like, so it says like five, it very pointedly says 5:36. The clip is 2:56 or whatever. Like, so it's not even 3 minutes. It's not even done in real time. Like,
oh, Bruce. Brucey.
It's so sad.
You know, it is sad.
It's so sad.
However, if I may be a prick for a second, he's like 70-something. So it's not like, oh, before his time. You know? It's not like he's 48 and he's got this weird, rare thing. I was only looking the other day and I was like, granted, I'm sounding like a prick right now. But, I was like, he's like mid-70s, right?
No, I don't know. You got your phone there. Bruce Willis' age. I mean, he's probably like...
How dare you? How old is Brucey Willis? Oh, he's only 69.
69, dude.
All right. Sorry, Bruce. Sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone. Listen.
You should feel terrible.
Let's dial up the festivities here.
Okay, yeah.
Top five Christmas
How have
movies.
We never done this before?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, cards on the table. I have my list and all that. You're looking at me like, you better have done your homework.
Fucking hell, man.
No, cards on the table. But realistically, I think if I had the choice of watching, I'm more likely to watch a Christmas special than a Christmas movie.
How
realistically. But with Joni, that unlocks all the Christmas movies and stuff like that. So I've already watched one or two anyway this year. But I just wanted to get that proviso. Quid pro quo.
Provisos.
So my number five.
No, you go first.
I'm trying to go first. Yeah. Now, I feel like this will be a lot higher on your list. So it's up to you whether you want to blow your wad now. But I'm going to say Muppets Christmas Carol.
My number five as well.
Hey!
There goes Mr. Humbug.
Do you know
what? There goes Mr. Grimm.
Two things I liked about it. Well, a lot of things. But mainly for me is like, one, just how earnest Michael Caine plays this role, you know what I mean?
Where there's a tar. He's like, he really can't hit the note, and he's like,
but the bit where it's like he's grabbing onto his sheet, like, no,
blaze spirit,
But then,
don't show me that.
I also remember it was one of the first like belly laughs that I got heard Joni doing, like not from a cartoon where. They're walking down the street and there's these guys in the foreground like pushing each other with them up. But then one of them like pushes back and he kind of goes, just falls down. And she couldn't stop. She's like, rewind it. And I just remember thinking, oh, brilliant.
I'm thinking this could be the year to crack it with Bond.
I think the Muppets.
She loves the Muppets.
Yeah.
We're pro Muppet house.
Great.
In my house, you know.
And in this house, the Muppets are heroes in this story. Terry, the children are crying.
Tiny Tim was a hero in the story.
Eating your salami. Straight out of the packet. What about you?
I love, you know, it's probably my favorite Muppet movie. Muppet Treasure Island, again, is a close second. I would love to do that, an episode on that someday if I can fit it onto a list.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know how I would cram it in there somewhere, but the framing device of Gonzo and Rizzo doing Dickens, you know.
Yeah.
And like obviously the iconic line, and Tiny Tim, who did not die, you know, at the end. That's like a meme in itself. Anytime something happens, like, who did not break up or whatever, like.
I have to watch it again, actually, because it's actually been years since I've seen it. But I just have a very real fondness for it.
Controversy as well about, like, one of the songs, like Jim Henson cut it out. What? And it was like the best song apparently.
Why did he cut it out? For time?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Henson or if it was his son actually. Sorry, maybe it was Brian Henson. But it was like they cut it out.
Sniveling
and
puts.
It's like they're like, this was the best song that it was. It was when it was like Ghost of Christmas Present. So you can only get it on the old VHS tape. You can't even get it on Disney Plus.
I wonder why they did that.
It was a whole thing. Like, so,
and it's on Disney Plus, right?
It's on Disney Plus. All the Muppet stuff, I think, is on. Oh, bar great. A couple. I don't know why. But yeah, I mean, I have it there. It just puts a smile on my face. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's a classic. You know, feel good sort of thing.
Feel good and scary as well. Like, yeah. You know,
it's a proper movie.
Death, like, is pretty, or whatever. Christmas future, you know?
Yeah.
I much prefer it to Scrooge. And I thought when I got older, like, Scrooge is going to be...
I haven't seen Scrooge.
Yeah. It's okay. Like, yeah. I was like, Bill Murray?
Christmas movie?
And yeah, you know? And
yeah.
The thing that kind of bugs me about it, and I think it's a joke in the movie, but it's like he's putting on the network special. It's like, Charles Dickens, Scrooge. I'm like, it's a Christmas carol. It's called a Christmas carol. I don't know if that's supposed to be like...
Probably.
Yeah, but I'm like, it just bugs me.
Is that 80s?
Yes, late 80s. Late 80s, Murray, like...
All right.
It's before, pre-Groundhog Day, I think.
Before he blew up. Mm. I'd say Groundhog Day was a big one for him, was it?
It was a huge one, but it was like... Ghostbusters was the big one, you know, and then like these were like he had a few, you know, solo vehicles.
It's so funny to hear what Ghostbusters started out as, that they were literally going to be in outer space or something there, you know, like a completely different movie. And thank God.
Have you seen Ernie Hudson lately?
No.
He's like in his 70s.
Looks the same.
Looks better than ever. Like, looks better than he did on Oz. Jack the shit and like...
Oh, I've seen him jacked. Yeah,
that's like now. And he's like 73
this
or something.
Fucking
like,
killing it.
And then you look at... No disrespect to like your Aykroyds or your Murrays who like...
But they don't look like that.
They don't. You know?
Good for him.
Yeah.
Number four?
Number four.
Now, you know what? I'm going to go with Christmas Chronicles. And I'll tell you why.
The Netflix Kurt Russell...
Yeah.
Wow.
And the reason why it's a 3-star movie, I'd say, right?
Yeah, so what's it doing on your top 5
because
list?
Because Kurt Russell as Santa is the best depiction of Santa in a movie. Now, not that I know the real Santa or anything, but
it's a great depiction.
I think it's the role he was born to play. I think
I wanted more.
Oh, he gives me more than enough.
No, but I wanted more from the movie. He's giving me loads.
Oh, the movie, yeah. I mean, arguably, Christmas Chronicles 2 could be considered better.
No. Christmas Chronicles 2 is bullshit. All that shit with the elves and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But like, neither of them are 5-star movies. They're kids' movies. You
yeah,
know
but
I mean?
Like, you can have a.
We got Kurt Russell. He's got Goldie Hawn in it.
I like
Mrs.
that.
Claus.
I like that she's minimal in the first one.
My favorite bit of both movies is the. Where like he's singing the song with Darlene Love in the airport, and he's singing on stage, and then it cuts to the crowd, and it's just him with a sax
and
shade.
The first one
I sent it to you last Christmas, actually, you and Andy. Where I'm like,
the first one when he's in the jail cell playing the sax.
Yeah, man. I mean, it just makes me laugh. I just love Kurt Russell so much.
And me too. Don't get me wrong, but like,
yeah. So
I wanted more from the movie. I was so excited. And I think the little girl is pretty good in it.
She's good,
She's pretty good in it.
See, the thing is, I want some... I don't just want earnest Christmas. You know what I mean? I want some laughs.
Yeah, I mean...
That's my scoring system here.
I think Muppet Christmas Carol is about as earnest as I get on my list.
Oh,
TBH.
Great. What's your number four?
My number four is Shane Black's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh.
Which is a Christmas movie.
Is it?
Yes, because it is set around the...
You kept urging me to rent that when we...
Oh, it was so...
Centra had them.
I mean, you like the nice guys a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Gosling and Crow and this is like Downey and Val Kilmer. It's kind of not the same.
Two arseholes. Together at last.
They're really good together. This was the thing that like got Downey Iron Man. This was like his
was
big
it?
Comeback.
This
was like
2000?
2006, I think.
Oh,
and Iron Man's 2008, and it was like they're like, oh my god, like Downey is back.
Isn't that mad to think that like if he hadn't have done Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, there may not have been an MCU.
Not the way we know it.
Do you know what I mean?
You know?
Like it wouldn't, or all the phases and all.
That's
the...
and he repaid the favor. He brought Shane Black, who like wrote and directed this movie, onto Iron Man 3.
Oh,
to be like, and it was like he made a $1 billion movie. And you know, he brought him back.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean,
good for both of them.
Yeah, it's just it's witty, it's snappy. Love an Old Murder Mystery, which is what it is. Great performances from Downey, from Val Kilmer, Michelle Monaghan. It was like, that was when I was like, you know, okay, that's, you know, we talked about it on the Patreon when we covered The Town last week. You can join us over there for the low, low fee of €5 a month. How like Rebecca Hall was like my type.
Yeah, I'm looking like, up Michelle Monaghan now.
True Detective wife. Not the girlfriend, the wife in True Detective.
Not
Adriana.
Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah, not her.
Well,
the wife.
Yeah, well, I mean, Daddario is...
Yeah, it's different.
Different grades.
Different grade. Michelle Monaghan, when I saw her in this, I was like, oh, like...
Noted.
It was like, oh, I have a type. She's a bit of a she's a bit of a freckle face.
Yeah, she is a bit of a freckle face.
And
a bit older as well.
I mean, yeah, that's her now. She's Tom Cruise's wife in the Mission Impossible movies as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ethan Hunt's wife, excuse me.
Ethan, having tasted the goods myself, Ethan.
Well, that was a different movie. That was,
whatever.
I think that's on Netflix as well. That's like a Christmas watch. Not a Christmas movie, but that's one I always watch.
Mission Impossible
watch.
One?
Yeah. Always watch it. Lights are
I think
down.
I watch that again.
The tree is on. You just stick it on and like, you know,
hell
it's like, it's like one of those ones that was always on at Christmas. That's what I'm talking about. Like from the 20th to like the 31st is like secret movie time.
There's a
every night is secret movie night in my house.
But like, there's a criteria, isn't there? Of like, there's Christmas movies and then there's movies you watch at Christmas.
Oh, 100%.
And they're very, very different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, it's just
all right.
Fantastic.
Is that on anything?
Don't know. Look it up yourself, folks.
What am I here? Number three with a bullet. I'm gonna put in Die Hard, number three.
Yeah. Good choice.
I have only seen it thanks to the pod merely a few years ago. We actually, if you're a patron, you can hear a full commentary on us watching Die Hard. Full movie commentary.
So good. Not the commentary, the movie. The
commentary's good too. Yeah. But I just think it's fun and it's I've come around to it now. And not that I ever had a problem with it, but like because I arrived late, I'm like, yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that, but not, I didn't have the whole life of growing up in like, Die Hard, Die Hard. What do you mean you never seen Die Hard? Yeah, so. You know.
I feel attacked.
That's me, isn't it?
I feel attacked right now.
You and you and everyone like you.
Well, you
but, know. Now here we are.
Yeah,
in my top five.
Fantastic. I love that movie, man.
I just love it. Yeah. What else can you say? Yeah.
But it's, perfect movie.
It's great.
Yeah. My number three is a little movie about a bunch of assholes in Chicago that leave their son home alone.
A bunch of arseholes.
Yeah, the family of arseholes, like, including little snot boy Kevin.
Now, this is on my list as well.
Yeah.
It's my number one.
Oh!
I'm just say
yeah, it. Yeah, all right.
So we can talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what I found about this one is, like, the difference that John Williams makes to a movie or a franchise. Yeah. Like, you know, you just...
He's very classic, cool Hollywood movie score. You know what I mean?
But, like, it really does elevate... Like, that, like, you know, obviously there's loads, Jurassic Park. He did Superman as well, didn't he? And all
yeah.
But, like, they have
he
these
has the
recognizable...
Oscar nominations ever, I think.
He should. He should probably have more.
And he's the oldest Oscar nominee. He got nominated last year.
Did he?
For the Indiana Jones score. Oh, even though really? The movie was not very good.
Score was good.
Yeah. I mean, the Indiana Jones score is fucking incredible. Like, you know,
but, like, isn't it
it's
mad?
Iconic.
It's mad how he can... He's able to do that and to like, you just, as soon as you hear, and that's part of the whole appeal. It's like when I'm watching Home Alone and it starts and you hear that music, then you're just like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Take me away.
A warm bath.
Yeah.
I put it in, you know, it's never been bettered.
Yeah.
This type of movie.
You got Joe Pesci in there. You got, you know,
Daniel
Stern. A line that, well, that's Home Alone 2 more so, where it's like, this is Kevin McAllister. Peter McAllister.
The father.
The father.
You got John Candy.
Yeah.
Like,
I seen that on Twitter. It's like, is this one of the best cameos in a movie ever?
I mean, I think that I have, it was like honorable mention on like top five performances of all time.
Yeah.
You know, favorite performance. I was like, that is one of my favorite ever. And it's all improvised.
Yeah.
Like when he says, when she's like, he's home alone, he's like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. And then, like, she's like, he's like, you know, kiss me, polka.
Yeah.
Tell me who's your polka.
Yeah.
Polka twist. And she's like, these are songs. He's like, okay, yeah, polka. Yeah. He's like, you don't mind riding with a bunch of polka bums. You know, and then, like, they're in the car. And he's there, like,
try it.
So fucking.
He comes back.
Yeah, yeah. He's so good.
What a great addition. That doesn't really even need to be.
It's just like, it's like, oh, this is like a 4-star movie. It's like, boom. Like, hey, you like that? Choke on that, baby. Like, I'm just going to drop a bomb in here for 10 minutes. Every time you cut back to it, he's just like fucking ice and everything. It's like playing Fortnite. Sniping everyone. Yeah. Another point for Milos.
Oh, brilliant.
Fucking incredible.
What a movie. I
kills it.
I was trying to watch it the other day. Johnny wasn't having it. But I'll get it. I'm going to get it watched.
I think.
Because she said it.
How old is Johnny? 10?
She'd be 10 in March.
Yeah. So like, I think I watched the first one when I was like 8.
Yeah.
So you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just they have more challenges these days, kids. Like more stuff to distract them.
Oh yeah.
To get their attention.
Like that's
it was
thing.
A big thing watching Home Alone.
Yeah.
First time.
That was it.
Yeah.
But plus I feel like us as 8-year olds is not even the same as kids at 10 now.
No.
You know what I mean? We're watching Terminator and shit.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's, you know, true. Yeah.
Number
2 for you?
Number 2 for me is a little movie I like to call Jingle All the Way. And do you know what? Like,
you're so fucking predictable, man. Like,
there's no way it's not going to be on my top 5.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I only watched it yesterday, right? Johnny asked me to turn it off.
She's right. She
like,
Dancer, Blitz and Tom and Cupid.
Like, it is a bad movie, right?
Joe America. Arnold
but it just makes
was he working at a fucking couch factory or
something like that. Yeah.
Sells sofas.
It makes
mattresses.
Me so happy because it's like, it's the classic Christmas formula. Dad works too hard, learns the meaning of Christmas. But there was a few bits where I'm like,
just Phil Hartman again, another fucking assassin
Phil,
being dropped.
I mean, what an addition to the movie where like he's got the reindeer. Like, whoa, how are you? You know, and he's like, is that a reindeer? And then like,
what are you doing on my roof, Ted? What's Ted doing on your roof?
The reindeer snaps at him. He's like, must be something about you he doesn't like. An aftershave or something. You know? But there was a bit that I totally
these
forgot
cookies
about.
Howard, oh
yeah, and he's like, I'm sorry, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
Put those cookies down.
There's a bit where like him and Sinbad go to the place and say, yes, we have a limited supply of Turbo Man. There's like, all they're giving out the balls or whatever. And like, he gets one, and this is where it escalates because him and Sinbad have been kind of like, oh, a little bit like jokey, but a bit, I'm going to get it.
Sinbad's pretty good, isn't it?
Sinbad's good, but like, Arnold Schwarzenegger gets it. He's like, I got one. Sinbad gets the mace.
He got two.
It's such a shit movie, but it's so. It just makes it does what a Christmas movie should do for me.
It has one of the best. I don't know if it's a sound effect is the right word, but it's like when Rita Wilson hits Phil Hartman with the thermos of eggnog.
Yeah.
Duh! I find it like I don't know how anybody can like recreate that noise or whatever. It's like, you know, he's just perfect. He's like, let's get out of here. And it's like, his dad is Turbo Man. Like,
like,
I just tried to fuck his wife. Oh my God.
This is the X-rated version. Yeah. Howard, I was just trying to fuck your wife
and eat your cookies.
And that's not a euphemism. Okay.
My number two. Is brand new entry with a bullet
coming in hot
after last year. Number one movie of last year. It's The Holdovers.
Oh, what's this?
Yes, it's the one. What's this? It's Paul Giamatti as the. I think he's like the Latin or English teacher in this prep school, and the whole thing is there's a guy that wants to go home for Christmas break, but is like. Mom has moved on with a new husband and she doesn't take him home, so like he has to stay on campus and Christmas break. Paul Giamatti is like supposed to be going home, but he has to stay on campus, and then there's a woman who's like the cook, she stays. So they become like an unlikely trio over Christmas break in Boston. This movie, like, he was up for the Oscar, Paul Giamatti. The woman, Divine Joy Randolph, won the Oscar. It's a fucking incredible performance. It's funny, it's heartwarming, it's real, and it just, like, I can't wait to watch it again this year. Like, it's sitting there on my Now TV waiting for me to just,
how much,
like,
is that?
I don't know. It's, why don't you find out? Low, low.
Thought you had it all.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I pay. I'm on it some, every time my deal runs out, I go to cancel and they offer me a new deal. Good, good like that.
That's how you do it.
And you can cancel at any time. But it's just one that I was like, I was like, I don't know if I, like, when I saw the clip of it, I was like, the trailer, I was like, yeah, I'm not sure. And I read reviews, and some reviews like up and down, and I watched it, and I was like, my expectations were so-so, and I fucking loved it.
Comedy?
It, it's comedy. It's by the guy, it's by Alexander Payne, who did Election. Oh, yeah. So it's kind of like,
I feel like I'd hate it.
No, I think you'd like it, man. Like, yeah. It's one that's like, it's heartwarming, but there's also like slapstick in it. Like, he's like pretty much an alcoholic in it. So there's times where like, you see him trying to get into bed drunk, and I was like, oh, I've done that. I've done that. Like,
do you know what? It's terrible, but I just feel like I'm predisposed to not like Paul Giamatti movies, even though I really like Paul Giamatti.
He's so good in this. Like, there's a bit in it where it's like, you see him like walking snow in the school, and it's like, on location, it's a real school, fucking real snow, it seems like. I was like, yeah, movie. Like, I can sink my teeth into it. But like,
all right.
There's a bit where it's like he it's just like a little vignette of like him walking, stretching, and he like, it's like a frisbee or something, or like a football that like somebody's like, hey, and he's like goes to throw it and like completely whiffs it. But he just like, he thinks he's great, just like, and then just like walks off. It's like, oh, my job is done. And I was like, no, I don't know if anybody could like portray that. It's not like a level of delusion, but it's like a, he just seems, it's in the character. He's very smug in it, because like, he's like, you're all getting extra homework over Christmas. And he's like, I don't understand. He's like, well, that's pretty obvious. You know, like, just loved it. And I can't wait to watch it again this year.
You heard it here first, folks.
Go watch it, guys. If you haven't seen it, it's fucking incredible.
What'd you give it on Letterboxd?
Oh, that was a 5-star last year. That was one of my 5-stars last year.
Did that make your top 10?
My number one last year.
Was it?
My number one.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. When I said it like 20 seconds ago.
Did you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
4 years ago?
No, but I watched, I listened to your thing last year.
Yeah.
But I would never remember anything.
My brain is fried. My number one, now I didn't talk about this when you mentioned it earlier on, but it's Die Hard.
Yeah.
It's got to be Die Hard, man. Alan Rickman's first ever screen performance.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, he was a theater guy. What a fucking performance. You got Bruce Willis being fucking charming as hell. It's it's a like airtight clockwork movie.
That's like, a perfect movie.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, it's one of my top four. You know, that you have your four favorites in Letterboxd. Like, that's there.
Yeah,
you know,
for
me, it's just, there's very little fat on it. It's like, you're funny. Like, it's like, you know, it, like the geography of the, we talked about it on the thing where it's like, oh look, he's back here again. You know where he is every time. He's charming without being smarmy. You get the point. Like, when he's talking to himself, it's like, in that situation, I'd probably be talking to myself, being like, come on, the fucker.
Yeah.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs. You know, it doesn't feel phony, even though the whole situation is crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just going to ask it just on that, right? If you do something, like if you're by yourself and something goes wrong, like you drop the bin.
I'll be like,
fuck. What do you have a go to phrase, or do you know what you're saying at the time, or are you just
like, fucking beautiful? You know, like, you know, sometimes it'll just be like, it's like, what are you doing out there? I'm like, nothing.
Yeah, you know? Dealing with something.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, just, it'll be something.
I know it's because I caught myself last week, and like, I just kept going, fuck off.
Yeah. Just, oh, I do that a lot.
I just do that. Fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck you, Deputy Stag.
Oh, he's back. He's back in business.
Happy. So happy.
Fuck you, Deputy Stag.
Yeah. I'm sorry for my language.
I'm sorry now.
Iconic moment.
That is most unparliamentary language.
What else there to say? If you haven't seen Die Hard, man,
what are you doing?
It's on, if you live in Dublin, the Lighthouse and other cinemas do Christmas screenings. I went to see it on the big screen, I don't know, I want to say 7 years ago. before I had a child, I think it was before I was married, I fucking loved it, man. It was just great seeing it on the big screen.
Hell yeah.
Hearing the fucking, you know, the score. There's also the fucking, like, Ode to Joy score that's in there. The fucking noise of it. Even, like, all the little bit players, you know.
Yeah.
Man, the quarterback is toast.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Like,
it is great.
Hit him again.
And, folks, just a reminder, if you are a beloved patron and you want to get your... if you want to get your... fix of Die Hard, we did a commentary on it. You just literally go onto patreon.com/whatssogreatabout, search Die Hard, and
we've done Die Hard 3 as well.
Did we?
Die Hard of Vengeance on our 90s action movie as well. So if you're,
we didn't do a commentary on that though.
No, but some idiots are bigger fans of that movie than the first one.
You're looking at them.
It's a good movie, but it's no Die Hard. Check it out over there. Lots of good stuff behind the paywall.
Speaking of the paywall, is this a good time for me to segue into the paywall talk?
Do you have any honorable mentions before?
Do you know what I do?
Yeah.
Two. Mad feedback there, Sean. One is the Santa Claus.
Tim Allen?
Yes, of course. I watched it, and Joni watched it with me last week, and she actually liked it. I left the room, and she kept watching it. Now, on second rewatch, I realised it's actually shy.
Yeah. That's my feeling of it.
You know, but like, it's fine. I was going to say fun, but it's not even that. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you know what? A slight odd take on it was, I never really classified this as a Christmas movie until I looked at it. Not the Santa Claus.
All right.
The next thing I'm going to say. Batman Returns.
Tom Wynum.
Hey. Yeah.
Fucking great.
I would love to see
movie.
That again.
Well, maybe a miniseries in the near future.
What do you got?
It might be on.
What you got cooking up back there, T?
I can't tell you. I got a bunch. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I haven't seen it.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, watch it this Christmas.
Yeah,
man.
Okay.
So good.
All right.
Here's Chevy. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, don't like it, but yeah.
It's good. I really like it. Jack Skellington is a pretty important guy in our house towards the last quarter of the year, I guess.
Yeah.
Those around Halloween,
yeah,
those songs about, get played quite a bit.
Oh, great.
Trading Places, Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd.
Also haven't seen it.
Great movie. Gremlins.
Hey, seen it. Love it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, Elf.
Do you know what? I was talking with someone at work today about this. That, like, I think I'm done with Elf. Do you know what I mean?
It'll come back around.
Yeah, I have to not watch it for like 10 years.
That's the thing. I don't watch it every year.
Yeah.
So when I turn it on, it's a delight.
Do you know what? It kind of bugs me though is the lore, not the lore, but the
fandom.
The fawning over Elf of like just.
That's the last great Christmas movie.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's too. I hate people who love Elf too much. Do you know what I mean?
Get a real personality, mate.
Yeah.
James Caan is pretty good.
James Caan is good. Don't get me wrong.
My girl Zoe Deschanel. Yeah, and of course my boy Will. there's one I want to talk about. I watched it last Christmas, just after. It was one of those when, you know, we just had Gus, so I was doing a few late nights, and a movie called The Silent Partner. It's a Canadian movie from the 70s, right?
Wow.
Starring Elliot Gould, a very young John Candy.
Wow.
And it's about a guy who like works in a jewelry store, and he gets robbed by somebody dressed as Santa Claus. But Santa doesn't get away with the money, and so the guy who is being held up actually steals the money and blames it on the robber.
Ah.
So he has the money and nobody knows. And then the guy who's dressed as Santa Claus finds out where he lives and kind of starts blackmailing him. It's really fucking good. Like, it's a very good movie.
Concept.
Very good concept. Yeah. It's like, somebody should remake this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's ripe for
because it was like, it's a low budget Canadian film board movie. And like, you know, you got good actors in it. Elliot Gould, Christopher Plummer. Like I say, very young John Candy.
Huh.
He has very few lines, but I was like, there he is. My guy.
Lovable rogue.
Yeah. In about 10 years, he'll be wearing a yellow vinyl jacket that I would love. Anybody wants to send me a Christmas gift? That'd be
is that the poker jacket?
A Kenosha Kickers jacket would go down a treat.
Kenosha Kickers, now we're talking.
Look,
on that note, folks, what's your favourite Christmas movie? Hey, is that Seth Rogen
The Night Before?
Is that any good?
It's okay.
I've not seen this.
You might like it. Like, I like it a lot. Like, some people are like, oh, it's brilliant. And I'm like, it's okay. I like it. It's fun.
Did I see Harold and Kumar's Christmas one?
You might have. It's sure. Okay too. It's like the third and best in
of the trilogy.
Yeah, I think. I think it goes 1, 2, 3. The rare trilogy that goes 1, 2, 3. A lot of it's like 1, 3, 2 in my...
Was that the third one? The Christmas one?
Yeah, Christmas one was the third one.
I remember thinking that was actually really... I think I'd go 1, 3, 2 on that Harold and Kumar.
Well, see, I like 2. I have a very soft spot for 2. With like Rob Corddry like chasing them all
over.
You
had me at Rob Corddry. Yeah.
So he's like at one point, I think they're like in handcuffs on the plane and he's like listening to Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. <It's> like...
Well, folks, tell us your Christmas movies of choice.
Because you know what? We'll be doing a year in review next week on the main feed. So if you have stuff you want to, you know, say, oh, my favorite Christmas movie, we'll read them out next week. We'll talk about them.
Say anything, really, and we'll talk about it.
We've got nothing.
But if you want more, if you just can't wait that long, check us out on Patreon. Highest membership. I got a new patron only yesterday.
Brilliant.
It feels small time that I announce it one by one, but
it's always nice to have new patrons, so thank you.
Didn't catch the name. But they wouldn't want me to, it's like going to the gym. I want to just go in, not be seen, not talk to anyone, and just enjoy myself.
Like check
get out of here. But if you aren't signed up, what are you doing? You can find 2 extra episodes a month, early access to these episodes every week, and basically if you have a suggestion, we will devote a whole episode to it.
Yes,
nearly 100% of the time. Failing that, a chunk of an episode. And you're also supporting us and supporting the pod. You also get access to our back catalogue of, I mean, hundreds of episodes, including What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About 90s Action, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. You get about, if you like this top 5 format, great, because we got about 100 of them on Patreon. Movies, music, general things. We pitch each other movies, we come up with movies and pitch them, and the other person says yay or nay. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's a very good time. And you mentioned the 2 movies a month over there, because we're covering movies over there. At the moment, we're covering What's So Great About Heist Movies. We just locked in The Town last week, 2010. Mm-hmm. We watched Ocean's 11 back a couple of weeks ago, and we had Hell or High Water. Up next, we're doing The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, the 1970s version. Can't wait for that.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good.
All right.
it's number one on the Rotten Tomatoes heist movie
list. Oh, is it?
Yeah, number one.
Wow. All right, so it's
gave it away. Shit.
I was just thinking that. Well, so it's a classic then.
It's a classic.
Right.
So, come join us for that good stuff there. And you get to vote on what we cover next time as well, if you're a beloved patron. You get to shape the main feed and the Patreon feed. So
We're giving you the keys to the podcast, literally.
Figuratively. Now, if you can't afford the €5 a month, well, I know it's tight.
All the best.
Tis the season and all.
All the best.
But you can give me a rating and review. Now, Andy.
Yeah, Terry.
In Jingle All the Way.
Okay, where's he?
Arnold Schwarzenegger said, he got 2. But I don't want a 2-star review. I want a 5-star review.
Sorry, I wrecked it. I tried to hold it.
I'm coughing up a storm. I've been too animated. My voice is...
I was thinking you started to get a bit coffee at the end.
A bit hoarse. Yeah. I sound like Tom DeLonge.
You wish. Like. You wish you could sing like him. Anyway.
No, I don't.
So, folks, and also tune in next week to see what Terry thinks of that Kendrick Lamar track.
Absolutely.
I'm going to send him.
Once again, a big thanks to Neil Murray Music for our lovely theme song. You can check him out over on the Instagram and all that. Neil Murray Music is one, and Double PE Music as well. Give him a follow there. He's always posting stuff about where he's gigging about and stuff. He's
a proper musician. That's what I'd say.
And a proper mate.
Man. Oh. Okay. Mate as well. I mean.
Of course he is.
Yeah. I love you, Neil. I love all of you too.
And you get the big L from me behind the paywall. You got to pay for my love.
We are a well-oiled machine, aren't we? Aren't we, Terry?
I don't know, but mate.
It's a rickety car, but it's well-oiled.
And it's staying on the road sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So...
And with that analogy,
all the best.
We'll see you next week for the year in review.
I'm giving you bad, bad news. I think I might have fallen out of love with you. Years of fighting and hiding feelings, all those nights staring at the ceiling.